Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to begin the communion class with our prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing, all the revelation you give your people. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to move in our lives and help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
God, he was moving this week. He really blessed me this week, and he taught me some things that was a blessing. Today, in the communion class, yesterday the Lord, he told me the parable of the talent, you know, how the sower sows the word, and then there was four types of hearts. The wayside, the stony ground heart, and seed that was sown among thorns, and then the good heart. And in communion, we receive from the Lord. That's why we receive and we dialogue, we talk to him. He talks to us, and we draw near to him, and he draws near to us. But the ways of the world, Apostle John said that the world causes you to be the enemy of God. The world is enmity against God. So when people, what he revealed to me yesterday is when people are distracted with the world, it changes the way they receive from God. It changes their focus have changed, so the way that their relationship with God changes with it. And we was looking at in Acts, we'll look at Acts and also Numbers chapter 22. We'll come back to Numbers 22. Numbers 22 and 15. But Acts chapter 5 again. The case with Ananias and Sapphira, verse 3 says, you know, they skip. I'll just read 1 through 3. That's all I need is 3. But he said, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? When Satan filled his heart, and he didn't start out that way. This temptation came in seed form. Everything of God starts out in the seed form. We hear the word, and we receive it, and then we believe it, and then we act on it. The enemy gave him a thought, and that thought filled his heart, and he acted against God. And what happens is when people hear the word, if their focus is already changed, their focus will be hardened. They won't. If they love, if they're in the lust or greed, if they're in greed, when they hear the word, because of their greed, the word is love. Love causes you to give. And they'll say, well, giving costs too much. They hear what they can't have. And they resist it. If it's pride, when people are in pride, if they hear the word, they can't be first anymore. If they get in competition with people, that'll distract them. They won't hear what's being said. They'll know it's good, but they're looking for a comeback so that they can seem smarter. These, you know, the Holy Spirit, he draws near to those who draw near to him, mm-hmm. and he resists the proud. Mm-hmm. And in ministry, sometimes I run into that. When people do that, then the revelation stops. You know, but when people are humble, it flows. Yes. And in his presence, the revelation flows. When Peter was when they were on the boat and the winds were choppy, and they were struggling in the storm, when they woke Jesus up when he was sleeping in the back of the boat, it actually says their heart, they forgot about the miracle of the loaves that he had just done, because their hearts were hardened through the frustration of what was going on. The Word of God is a charge. A lot of times people read it for an education, but actually the education is a byproduct. The Word of God charges your heart with life. And it'll only work if you receive it. In reception, you benefit from the Word. But any love of the world will cause you to repel it. So Satan gave him a thought, and it grew and filled his heart, and he and his wife acted on this thing.
That makes me think of the scripture. When lust conceives, it mm-hmm. is for sin. It's not the thought that you put in your head or see something that you have in the flesh. It's when you conceive it, you take it and conceive it like they did, it brings forth sin.
And it has to get in the heart before before it can captivate their lives. When people get in lust, greed, or pride, and they get to a point when they see somebody coming that can help them, or that will try to help them come back to the Lord, they go the other way. They automatically start resisting. Satan's operations work in seed form as well. He give you a thought. If it goes unchecked, it grows. You have to drive it out, just like the Philistines. The Jews should have drove the Canaanites right out of the land. You have to drive these things away. When Balak, he was so, before the things happened with Balak and Balaam, Balaam was the man of God. He was a real man of God. Balak wanted Balaam to curse the people because he was used to God moving in his life. And in his mind, he said, Balaam can do anything. He can, whatever he say, it'll work. All I got to do is get him to curse the people, and then they won't be a threat to my people. Because he saw Israel as a great threat. So he sent a messenger to get Balaam to come. But in verse 15 it says, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. He sent the first wave, and Balaam stood fast. He didn't go with them. So he sent the second wave, and they were more honorable. Sometimes people will receive a false thought from somebody they trust or a more honorable person. It's kind of like when people hear in denominational churches, it starts in the theologian colleges. They say, well, the healing went out with the apostles. Now you got the man that helped you that's instrumental in you getting saved saying, well, now healing went away with the apostles. Now, if you don't have a reference for it, if you've never been healed before, and all the people you're around, you know, they never been healed, and they believe this way, you don't have a reference, and that seed of doubt is in your heart now.
Amen. That's right.
But the word, a healthy study of the word, was you'll go back and say, well, hey, I found it in the word. We can be healed.
Amen.
Well, that went away with the apostles. But it won't sit well if you have a reference, a scriptural
right.
reference.
That's right.
And that's the heart of communion. You have to know what God is saying to commune with it. And when an honorable person, everybody looks to is doing this, it's hard to snap out of it. Only the only thing that'll get us forward is more light.
Amen.
When people the things stayed the same for half a century till TBN got on the scene. When people started seeing miracles happen on TV, they started, you know, reaching out for it. What motivated them when your loved one is sick and people are getting healed on TV and the church is saying it went away, but you got to get your child healed again, or your spouse. The wrong things go out the window, and you have to actually drive those thoughts away. No disrespect to the people you love. People are wrong sometimes. If people are wrong, they're just wrong. And the Lord can't honor a lie. He only honors the truth of his word. He meant what he said. So more light will interrupt the course of Satan.
Amen.
And when we receive more light and operate in it, we give the world a chance. We got to give them something to see. Miracles work great, but we have to have the love of God. The love of God wakes people up more than anything. Then when the miracles flow, it has more impact. If God do a miracle through somebody that nobody trusts, then people get suspicious. But people that walk the line and walk in love and do the right thing and they bring good things to the table, they operate in the wisdom of God, they save the company from bankruptcy. And then a miracle happened in their lives, everybody's attention is on them. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And the Lord is, he's full of revelation, and things don't happen overnight, but Satan, Balaam was systematically seduced by the enemy. And he went, and he did something that couldn't be reversed. Even after he caused a rift in the kingdom of God, and even though people died, and what Moses did, God set a standard through Moses, they remember what happened, and some were still reluctant, and it ended up in the demise of the country. What he put in motion, what we put in motion, remains in motion. So if we follow God, it remains in motion. That's why the Lord couldn't ignore this problem. We look at it and say, wow, they died. Isn't there another way? When the Lord do something, he think of every scenario. And whatever he do, that's the best choice that could have been made. And Peter followed God. He yielded to, sometime when you follow the Holy Spirit, you have to do what he say for the process to finish. And Pete, this was the best thing that could have happened. They died. But it ends, that's sad for them, but it ends with a revival. But Satan filled their heart. Now, I don't know, I always wonder what happened. Did they go to hell or did they go to heaven? I wondered about that. It don't look good. But Satan filled their heart. So, but you know, God thinks of everything. Whatever he did was the best thing that could happen. And the Lord, he's good. I want to share this one thing as we close. We turn to Corinthians. Last week I was watching David Reagan, and people always ask him, where is America in prophecy? And he gave a real good, what he said made more sense than what I've heard. And I mean, it was so good. He talked about how people thought America was different nations. So after the program, my mind was on it. I said, well, Lord, I would love to know where America is in prophecy. And he revealed it. America is he said, America is a land. People are looking at the country to be all the other countries in the world. What Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel prophesied, they had done things and they had set a course against Israel or for Israel. And their judgments were based on what they put in motion, just like Balaam. But America wasn't formed yet. So to look at what's going to happen in America, you have to look at the people that came to America. People are looking at the land, but the land is neither good or bad. It's the people. All right. Half the country love God. They won't be judged. But the others, like there's a judgment on the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Canaanites, the Europeans, in different parts. The judgments that were set on them, they came to America. So if they turn their heart, the judgment stands. It's the people, not the land. So, and then the first clue of America is the right leg of Nebuchadnezzar's image that he saw, the statue. It was two legs. Well, America was formed at that period after the Roman fall. But the judgments will be on the rebellion of the people that came here, not the land itself. And when he said that, I said, wow, that makes sense. That but then if you, as for those who are in Christ, as he is, so are we in this world. Christ was a mystery. He was hidden. He was revealed, yet hidden. He was spoken of, but concealed. It's just like America. As he is, so are we in this world. If he would have fully revealed what America would be, rogue nations would have got here first. But he set it up under a Christian order to salvage the world, to help. Most preachers came from this country. And many came from Britain and Spain, but England and Spain, but America was instrumental. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. So there's no reason to put, but you have to look at the people instead of the land itself. Close that.
That's good. Appreciate you sharing that. That's I hadn't thought of it that way
before. I didn't either.
And, you know, I've been reading a book about worldview and stuff like this, and it's really the people that came over here brought their own ideas of what the world mm-hmm. is like. You know, the Egyptians and all the others, yeah. They had their own thinking
yeah.
about who God is, what mm-hmm. we should do, and all that, their whole philosophy of life.
Yeah.
They brought them to the United States mm-hmm. when they moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those deals where, okay, yeah, it's the people, but it's the ideas that they have.
Yeah.
You know, am I thinking like a Babylonian?
Yeah.
You know? Or am I thinking like an Egyptian? Mm. Or you know, am I going to go and embrace some, you know, religious thinking
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they had back then?
Yeah.
And it may not be, we think of it religious, but it may be just something like, you know, you're talking about Balaam.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
You know, they say, well, everybody's got a price.
Mm-hmm.
And they found Balaam's price.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. so if it's money, you know, everyone who comes, you know, mm-hmm. worships money is going to get that particular.
Yeah.
And so you could go back and maybe look at those nations, mm-hmm. okay, I'm guessing, but and seeing which one valued mm-hmm. money more than anything.
That's right. The pattern that was already set, it can interfere with how you hear the word or yeah. whether you receive it or not.
Right.
And that was what he had me saying in this class. But they brought it with them.
Yeah.
It was in their DNA. It was in their culture.
In their mind, yeah.
But and then they see the church, they either are for or against it. And their being against it is based on the past of their ancestors.
Don't you realize the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
So no matter what they've been taught, what's in them and all, they mm-hmm. can see the light of the glorious gospel
right.
of Jesus Christ above all else, uh-huh. and it's their choice.
And if they choose.
Very few people that see that and people witness to mm-hmm. will deny that. People right. will be saved because.
That's right.
Don't go with the thinking, well, he was raised a Muslim, he's uh-huh. going to live like a Muslim, we got to be careful. The gospel is the power
that's
of God
right.
unto salvation. You preach gospel of Jesus,
that's it.
There's no yeah. devil in hell, no doctrine, anything in your DNA can stop it.
It can't stop it. Your DNA has changed. You're changed.
We need to the church realize uh-huh. that. We are the mighty,
yeah.
mighty, mighty church.
And not only that, the Holy Spirit
amen,
gets you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it opens you up and
yes.
mm-hmm. allow you to be able to open up to that so mm-hmm. you can make your choice.
Yes,
yeah.
And the word says that God puts in everybody a desire that there is, and knows that there is a God.
Yeah.
You know, we have everybody that's born knows there's a mm-hmm. God.
And when you change,
yes,
you change.
We can change it. We're more powerful than the Muslim teaching. We're
yeah.
more powerful than those years of Egyptian doctrine.
Right.
Because it's Jesus, and like Mary said, the Holy Spirit is God. We're
uh-huh.
not. We're just vessels.
That draws yeah. a person.
Yes, yeah. amen.
Grown.
And everybody that gets saved, the judgments of Isaiah and all the prophets, they're done away with. You, there's no reason. That's the
amen.
Purpose of it, to get people to repent.
Yes. To get
okay, we're close.
But they won't be judged.
Right.
They will be with them. Redeemed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love communion.
Amen.
Communion with him. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat.
Amen.
This is my body, which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I love the Lord. I love talking to a communion with him. You learn so much from him. And that's the backbone of our lives. Okay. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll mightily move through your people. Lord, I thank and honor you for the revelation and the things you help us understand. Help us to go forward that we may do all this in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.